This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi there, this is Arvind Rathore. Exciting to be here at the Agile Thoughts Podcast. Thank you, Lance. I'm based out of Bangalore, India. I'm a keen agilist. Been in the industry for 24 years and worked with all over Fortune 500 different large companies and now startup, and keen to understand how the agile world has evolved and share some of my thoughts.
This is a continuing episode about Agile in the C-Suite with Arvind Rathore. Since agile teams are self-organizing and self-managing, how do you create an ecosystem for agile teams?
You know, when we talk about agile, we talked about a lot of things around giving them the freedom, giving them the empowerment, having them to experiment around different things and not being afraid to experiment and fail and so on and so forth, right? All of that, I think, in my opinion, requires a strong sense of discipline, right? So while it's very easy to say that, hey, you're an agile team, self-organize, we'll empower you, but that power comes with a great deal of responsibility, as they say, right? So I think the ecosystem that you need to create around these self-organizing teams is how do we provide whole thing around how can they be more disciplined, right, while they produce the outcomes within the team becomes very, very essential, right? So I think the ecosystem, again, an important element of team self-managing and self-organizing is that you've got to have representatives of different groups within this team, right? So this team doesn't have a bias towards, only development for that matter, or for that matter, only testing. So the way I organize these teams is make them cross-functional, to the extent if it's a project team, obviously, then we talk about the developers or the full-stack engineers and the QE quality engineers and, the people from the DevOps and people who are responsible for deployment being part of these teams. And like I was earlier saying, all of them having the same measure or the same goals and objectives as far as the outcome of the team is concerned. Right now, if I extrapolate that to an organizational level and create a team, at a leadership level, I would also include, bringing about a transformation within the company. You involve all representatives within the different functions, the organization, be it the HR head, be it the CFO, be it the procurement head, right? So all of that cross-functional element is essential to keep the balance of a self-disciplined or a self-managing team, right? And have a say of different representatives or different teams on what would be the outcome for that particular team as far as agile is concerned, right? I think what also is necessary is absolute clarity on what is the vision that everybody is embarked on, right? While they'll have different goals as far as their respective functions are concerned, but an absolute clarity on what's the North Star on where the company is moving towards, right? So I think those are the elements that really help bring the true sense of a self-organizing or a self-managing team, in my opinion.
You brought back the North Star, which is, I think, an important metaphor, because I assume you mean it in this manner, that when you're trying to travel somewhere, you're not giving people at a leadership level, you're not giving them step-by-step directions, but you're saying things like, well, I see up in the sky, there's a star there. And as we travel, we should be roughly to the right of it. We should be traveling to the right of that star or to the left or whatever direction, which means it's a general way that anybody on the organization can look up at the sky. They can see the star and then they can make a decision for themselves about how far to the left or to the right they should be traveling.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to dive a little bit deeper on the discipline part. What is it? So, coming from the military, if folks who have, probably have different ideas of what that means from a military standpoint, from a software organization standpoint or a company, what does discipline mean to you when you say they should have some amount of discipline?
That's a great question, right? So, there's a subtle difference between military. The impression people get is, it's all about command and control, right?
Right.
as opposed to, you know, what we call in Agile is more collaborative and more servant leadership and so on and so forth, right? But I think what the common factor between the two is the discipline of the troops on one side and discipline within your teams when we are part of a corporate project team for that matter, right? So I think the common element between what we're calling discipline is really a shared sense of responsibility that it is not only the work that I do. If I'm, for example, if I'm a developer, right, that I'm only responsible for writing 10,000 lines of code today, and that's what is a definition of done for me, right, as we call it in Agile, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the sense of discipline here is that you're accountable for a larger outcome for your team. And how do you have that sense of be responsible for the others in the team as well, right, and their outcomes? So in that sense, helping them achieve their outcomes, but also, you know, not doing something, you know, not being a maverick and sort of, you know, not being getting a sense of what the others require from you, right? So I think that's what discipline means. And a steadfast focus on what the overall mission of your project is, right? What are you doing for your end consumer? What are we building for the end consumer? And have we arrived and have we delivered that value for them? And not really be, you know, just concerned about that, what is your output in all of this, right? Yeah. So I think that those are the elements. I always felt that while it's very easy to say things around empowerment and, you know, self-organized teams and so on and so forth, the only way you can make that successful is through, you know, this sense of responsibility amongst the people that are working within your teams. And obviously, sometimes you get a team to do this who already have that sense of maturity around the responsibility that they carry. And sometimes you need to do some interventions to really make them realize that, hey, you may be a superstar in your own right, but then as a team, how do you are responsible for the, you know, for the others in the group as well? And yeah, so I think the most important ingredient, if you ask me, about making Agile teams successful.
Yeah, I like that, because let's talk about what you didn't mean by discipline. Is my dad was in the Air National Guard, and he'd always have this funny look on his face when he talks about boot camp, where they learn to salute well and march well, and those kind of results help make the parade look good. But you were saying about how team members think about their relationships with other team members and how to help the team succeed and then help the customer succeed. And those later things are far more important than, say, the military parade part. But, you know, yep. But that's a choice the military makes, is they want to do good parade sometimes. And there's probably psychological reasons why they do that. But in a software company, we don't do those things. And one time I was faced with an interesting situation that I hadn't seen before. And I believe I'm going to say it was a discipline problem. Is I was coaching a team, and one team member and I would talk about, we're going to meet up and we're going to practice this skill. And then that team member missed our appointment. And I thought, well, you know, it was right after lunch. Something happened. It's not a big deal, right? We'll schedule it again. And then he missed it again. And I was like, okay, hold on a second. Now this is twice in a row. And there might even been a third time. I was like getting really upset with him. And I realized the reason why I was getting upset is that that person is violating my values very frequently. You know, you could say continuously. He's never yet made an appointment. And I'm not saying like has to be on the dot at the time, but I'd wait 15, 20 minutes after the time. And he just would have a problem with, I don't know if it was forgetting or if it was intentional. I have no idea. It was probably forgetfulness. But I realized this is something the team's been living with for a long time. And me ignoring it as a coach or too accommodating. And if I'm just too accommodating and I coach the person on the skill, but we don't address this other thing, the team's going to keep suffering this situation. And so I escalated to his scrum master, and the scrum master was advising me, like, I told him, I said, look, I've given him three chances. I'm not going to teach him this thing because I'm ignoring a problem that this person has. And the scrum master was doing kind of what scrum masters do. You kind of show up on the team side, and he said, well, look, Lance, maybe you should like overlook it this time. And I'm going, like, look, it's been three times. And I'm sure you yourself and the team itself has been trying to get some things happening that this person has dropped. And we can't keep accommodating this person because it's actually bad for that person. We should make very strong note of it so the person can start, you know, adjusting their viewpoint. So to me, that was definitely a discipline situation.
Sure. And for all you know, that person may have been a superstar in terms of his competence. But then, you know, can that person do it alone? Probably not, right? So he requires the team to produce that outcome. And in that whole situation, if that superstar or the most competent person is not really disciplined, then you're not achieving your results, right? So, I mean, you've seen many times over a lot of sports analogies on how do you get really, you know, five or six superstars to play a soccer game, and, you know, they didn't really do well in terms of, you know, everybody's doing their own job and are not that disciplined, right, in that context of that game. So, you know, when you get there are ample examples on that, how a team taking care of each other. And like the example that you gave around, you know, being there on time and respecting each other's time is so valuable. I've seen time and over again, you know, really good people. They said, I was working 4:30 until 4:30 in the morning and I could attend this meeting, right? And really, you know, proficient, competent developers saying that. But then, you know, if that's not serving the purpose of the team and you've delivered your 10,000 lines of code, how does it really matter, right?
Yeah.
So I think I go back to, you know, what I was saying is that discipline is the most ingredient in my opinion. You know, I think there is a lot at stake when we allow, you know, teams to be self-organized. And that's the need of the hour, right? We're not living in the world where things are command and control. One person in the company knows everything and then the information is disseminated and it reaches out and people just carry out orders, right? We're living in an age where people need to make decisions on the front, right, or in the field, many a times in a very fairly short amount of time. And that decision has to be accompanied with a sense of discipline on how it's going to affect others in the team and the outcome of the team.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're relying on people to be guided by a North Star, you also rely on them to do what they say they're going to do, or when there's an agreement made that they'll follow through. So things like you mentioned earlier about definitions of done, meaning what are the steps that somebody take who say something's done. If the team or an individual doesn't care to actually follow their own working agreements, then there's a big problem because nobody really knows what that person's doing when they say they're done. And perhaps if they might be causing other team members to also think, if that person doesn't care about it, then why should I care about it? And so you have cause a team to have a bad culture.
Absolutely. You know, good that you mentioned the word working agreement, and I was looking for that to come up, and that exactly defines on what is the relationship between, what's the quote unquote the contract between people, right, in the context of the team. And that really defines on what do you owe each other as a team member. Absolutely.
Meet Kartar. Kartar is a project manager working for a casino. And little does he know is that hitmen are gunning for his head if he doesn't deliver the project on time. Kartar has caught the attention of a rishi, and this Hindu demigod is not satisfied with helping Kartar change just his project, but he wants Kartar to change his life as well. Read about Kartar's life in Agile Noir. Agile Noir is available in the US on Amazon.com and in India on Pothi.com. It's P-O-T-H-I. And in China on my WeChat store. Agile Noir. Noir spelled N-O-I-R. There are links to these retailers in the podcast show notes. Links to various articles written by Arvind, like the CIO article, can be found in the show notes. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for easy access. If you're not using a podcast player, just go back to the website where you downloaded the MP3, and there you'll see the show notes. The series started at episode 266. And if you're like my friend, Francie Van Workus, and you missed the first episode of the series, go back to agilethoughts.info, and there you'll see a search engine where you can type in whatever episode number you want, and it'll find it for you. Next episode, more Agile in the C-Suite with Arvind.
Do you have advice on how to create an organization that encourages grassroots ownership of the positive change? In this case, I think we're talking about agile transformation or any positive change. Like, how do you establish those guardrails and simultaneously empower a team or teams?